All right, here we are. And what's up, everybody? I am your host, Hannah, and welcome to the International Women's Day episode of It's Super Effective. With me, I have Cody.
Hello. And me.
How are you doing, Cody?
Sounds like Cody has had a day.
I'm doing well. I went on a lot of walks with my puppy today, so that was fun.
That sounds good. That sounds nice. Yeah. And also with us, we have Karina.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I am very excited to be on today's episode.
Wonderful. So this is the special International Women's Day episode of the podcast, and I'm going to throw it over to Cody real quick to give a short snippet of what International Women's Day is.
Yeah, so International Women's Day is kind of a global holiday celebrated every year on March 8th. It brings attention to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. The first International Women's Day was in 1911, which I thought that was kind of cool. For some reason, I thought it wouldn't have been that old. And it is part of Women's History Month. So it started out as Women's History, Women's Day, and then it became Women's Week. And then now we have a whole month. So, March is Women's History Month. So I think the podcast wanted to make sure that we have the voices of women on the podcast. So we brought together us three that have been on the pod before.
Yes, here we are. We're going to be here talking about our experiences with Pokemon, what got us into Pokemon in the first place, and how it's all gone from there. I think it's probably super easy for me to start here, so I kind of want to start.
Yeah.
I got in... My oldest memories are Pokemon. I'll just say that. My very oldest memories. When I was 2 years old, those Clefairy spinning tops from that early Burger King line of toys, one of those spinning on a wooden floor is my very first memory. And my second memory is when I got my very first Pokemon card at a day camp when I was probably three. It was a Horsea, and I still have it to this day.
Oh my gosh, so, I have my first Pokemon cards too, and you can see where my little fist has like crumpled them.
Beautiful. I have mine all in sleeves and protective plastic casing just because that one is very, very special to me. After I got that card, I had somebody else at the day camp draw the Horsea on me with washable marker. Aww. And that was like my first. It
Your
was like
tattoo.
A Pokemon tattoo. I don't have any others right now, but it was like a Pokemon tattoo.
So is Horsea like one of your favorite Pokemon? Does that Pokemon still hold a special place in your heart, or was it just the card?
It absolutely holds a special place in my heart.
It probably
wouldn't be one of my favorite Pokemon otherwise, except for the fact that Misty and her Horsea played a pretty big part in the anime here and there. Mm-hmm. So that was also special to me because I liked Misty. But
the OG woman in Pokemon.
Right. Yeah. If Horsea hadn't been my first card, I probably wouldn't still like it to the same extent, but
okay.
Because it has been. Horsea and Seadra and Kingdra have all been special to me throughout my life.
Nice. That's interesting, because piggybacking off of that, my like special favorite card that I unearthed again a few years ago, and now it's like protected and in a spot where I know where it is. It was a Holo Scyther, and I remember loving that card, and it's all crumpled because I took it with me everywhere, but I don't have any love for Scyther today. I like have no special feelings for Scyther.
Ouch.
Sorry, Cody. But Pokemon. I still am like very attached to that card and the memories of having it and treasuring it.
I also my first experience was with a Pokemon card as well, and it was a Tangela. I think I've talked about this on the pod before, that there was a kid on the bus in like second grade, still in the 90s for me. And he was like, I don't want this. And he gave it to me. I was so excited. I was like, this is so cool. And then my parents would start giving me some and putting them in my stocking for Christmas and things like that. But I do not have that card, and I don't really care. I mean, sometimes, like, I think on a previous pod, we talked about, like, what Pokemon do you like vibe with. And I was like, I'm also a hot mess. So yeah, D'Angelo.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, no. So okay. That's really cool that you still have that core memory, Hannah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so Hannah, I have a follow-up question on that.
Yeah?
So like your core memory is that Clefairy top, right? Mm-hmm. How did that top come into your life? Like,
I have
did somebody give it to you?
No
did you
idea.
Pick it yourself?
I have absolutely no idea. I was 2 or 3 years old, and I've asked my mom about it, and my mom is very unsure about it. Said that maybe we got it at a garage sale, because my parents actually didn't want me to get into Pokemon, specifically.
Okay.
They didn't want me to get into Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Because they thought that there was too much violence in those games from what they saw. Mm. And so, as I was a very small child, it was their intent to make sure their kid never got into those games.
So did they not realize Clefairy was a Pokemon because it was so cute and not violent
Probably
looking?
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah.
It's really cool that all of us got started with the Pokemon cards, but I don't think... Do any of us actually play the card game?
Because
I don't.
No, and I will say I actually didn't get started. Well, I don't know. I don't know if the cards or the games came first because... like my earliest memories are also, some of them are like with those Pokemon cards, but actually the games are what I remember more clearly. So, I feel like I have a bad like origin story for a Women's Day podcast, but, my big brother, like I have a big brother and he was into Pokemon. So like he was the reason I was ever exposed to Pokemon in the first place. And some of my earliest memories are, of like playing our Game Boy Color. Well, his Game Boy Color was like the opaque purple one. And then also I have these memories of like going on road trips with another family that also had like an older brother and a younger sister, and the brother had like the translucent purple Game Boy, and just like
that was
I remember
mine.
The four of us being in the back and me and the other little sister like constantly trying to grab the Game Boys and play. And I think one of my like the memory that has stuck with me the most out of playing Red and Blue, I can't remember if I've told this story before, but I would always pick Bulbasaur as my starter. And since I've always been like an obsessive little child, I like hated how it would be like Bulbasaur is like sent out to fight or whatever, but it would say Bulbasaur in all caps and everything else would be in like sentence case. And I hated that. So every time I got my Bulbasaur, I'd immediately nickname it Bulbasaur with a capital B and lowercase mm-hmm. Bulbasaur, but then it would
Love
evolve
that.
Into an Ivysaur
yeah, then you, yeah.
named Bulbasaur. And then at this point, my brother would take his cartridge back and like overwrite my save, so I'd lose it. And then I'd like some amount of time later, I'd get it back and start again with Bulbasaur, and the same cycle would just repeat infinitely. So those are like my earliest experiences with Pokemon and the games. Yeah, I feel like those are core memories for my identity too in some way.
Mm-hmm. do you guys, so another memory that I have from when I was younger, maybe like fourth, fifth grade, was my mom calling me into the room because there was a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire question that was Pokemon themed.
What was the question?
And it was which of these is a Pokemon, and it was like Jigglytuff, Jigglypuff, but then there were like a bunch of fake Jigglypuff-ish names. So it was like, mm-hmm. then there was like Wiggly Doof and like all these things that are not actually Pokemon names. And I like ran in and I looked and I was like, Jigglypuff, duh. And then I like walked away. And I don't think the person ended up getting it. I think they like called a lifeline or something. And the person was like, I don't know. But similarly, like, were you guys from after your inception into Pokemon, were you like the nerds, like the source of Pokemon information in your family? I guess, Karina, you said you had your brother was also playing, but...
Yeah, I would say my brother, like, is still throughout our lives, he always knows more about Pokemon than I do. Like, I feel like a lot of
Got
the stuff
it.
I pick up about Pokemon is secondhand from
Got
him.
Got it. I was the older sibling, so I tried to get my little brothers into Pokemon and failed. But yes, no, I was like you, Cody. I was the source of Pokemon information mm-hmm. and continue to be all through... All through elementary, middle, high school, and even through college, I was teaching my bosses in IT about Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still, so I still host in the, I'm in an entomology department, grad department at my university, and I host, like, Pokemon Go events. Like, I'll be like, oh, does anyone need a ride? Like, we're gonna go here. And during some of the outreach events that we have, I'll talk about Pokemon bug, like insect Pokemon, and how they're based on real insects, and like use that as outreach material. So yeah, I continue to be, and I still have like friends that'll be like, hey, do you want this, or do you need this Pokemon, or do you whatever? And I'm like, oh, thanks, sweet. I'm like, yeah, I did need that actually. So yep. Cool.
One of my favorite things has always been that I am always able to find someone. That Pokemon is how I've been able to make friends throughout my life, for just all over the place. When I was traveling in Japan in my gap year between high school and college, I made friends with some people based on Pokemon there. In my current job, when Legends Arceus came out, I made some of my closest current friends at my current job because we were all able to talk about Pokemon in college, in high school. So Pokemon has always sort of been there as a connector for me. I don't know if you've experienced that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I would say more so in recent years, especially since, you know, coming across the Pokemon cast community, I think has been a real blessing and has like connected me to people and like bonding over Pokemon, but also making connections that like don't actually have anything to do with Pokemon, but just, you know, I think it's so universal in a way that I've like made some really great connections that are outside of Pokemon, but that I really value in my life now, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yes, some of our communities, there are really great people in our communities who don't play Pokemon all that much anymore, but it brought them and all of us together to begin with, and I think that's still a pretty cool thing about all of it. But I'm still one of those people who talks about Pokemon all the time no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of those things, like, even if you don't play currently, like, you can still relate. Like, there's still like a kinship if you encounter another person who either used to play or does play or what have you. And that is one of the great things about this community that Steve has built, Steve's empire, as it were. That you say, some people don't really have the time. Like, we've have families, lives, grad school that is annoying, and we can only play like a couple hours a week, but we're still part of that community. Like, I don't think I'll ever stop telling people, oh yeah, I'm part of an online Pokemon community. So yeah, it's great.
So kind of related to that in like a very tangential way, just thinking about that, because I feel like Pokemon for me didn't really become like this connecting force until more recent years. And I played it much more casually before then. So did the two of you go through periods where you took a step back from Pokemon, and why was that, and why did you come back to it?
Yeah, so I'll say I took a step back around Diamond, Pearl, Platinum. And I think that around that point in my life, I hit a point where I was like a teenager in high school, and I just was either too cool for it or couldn't afford it. Like, it was something I wasn't going to ask for my mom. My mom was a single mom at that point, so I just wasn't going to ask. And then I came back in, I think I got like Alpha Sapphire. XY? I can't remember. I think I got X because I was like, that Pokemon is awesome. And then I also got Moon. Okay. And then I also got Alpha Sapphire. Like, it was around there. Like, I know, but it's just the Platinum era that I'm like, I don't know what these are. Like, when those Pokemon came into Go, I think. There we go now. I was like, what is this?
Well, it's a good thing you have BDSP to re-experience Gen 4 in all of its glory.
Sure, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, the whole last year of Pokemon's focus on Gen 4 probably went right over.
Yeah, it really did. I am playing Arceus, like, and stuff. Good.
That's the best way to experience Gen 4 right now.
I love it. So that was my blackout period where I think it was just a matter of couldn't afford it / had other things. Like, I was in musical theater. I was trying to get through high school.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting a job and started to go to college. So I just didn't really have time. What about you, Hannah? Did you have a blackout period?
I kind of did and I kind of didn't. When Diamond, Pearl, Platinum came out, I almost started to. That some of my friends, I had kind of friend drama around then, and the friends who liked Pokemon weren't really going to be my friends anymore funnily enough, I'm still friends with them to this day. But I felt at that point like I was going to have that period of not playing Pokemon for a stretch. But then I got super into Platinum and that pulled me back in real quick. Mm-hmm. After that, it was right around the same time that you mentioned for me. It was around late high school-ish when you kind of expect to start being the one buying your own Pokemon games. And also you are just swamped with life at that point in time. So I think for me that was maybe around Alola, because I did not experience the Alola region very much at all. I know that that is the favorite of a lot of people in our communities, and I think I did finally finish those games after some time. I think I went back to them after Sword and Shield, but gosh, I was not in it at that point. And maybe even starting with X and Y, there was definitely a stretch where I was listening to this podcast. I was checking Serebii frequently. I knew what was happening. I recognized the Pokemon, but I can't name all of the Pokemon from Alola still.
Yeah.
And Karina, did you already talk about yours?
Yeah, I feel like mine kind of diverges from both of yours a little bit in that my, I guess, blackout period of Pokemon didn't correspond to when I was like reaching the age to be too cool to play Pokemon, but when my brother was reaching that age. So I missed out. So I played like Red and Blue in the way that I outlined earlier, like not very thoroughly at all. But after Gen 1 was when my brother started hitting that age. So we both missed out on like Gen 2 and 3. And then Diamond, Pearl, Platinum was when he started getting back into it. So that's when I started getting back into it, because then I had access to the games again. And I've played every gen since then quite casually. And I think it's kind of interesting how you both talked a little bit about being like starting end of high school, start of university, like when you're expected to pay for your own games and also just really busy. And that was actually a time when I feel like Pokemon started bringing like more comfort to me and bringing more of a connection for me, because I remember my first year at university, I had just moved across the entire country, and there was I think Sun and Moon was coming out that fall, and I was like so excited. I was like, I'm gonna like spend the money that I made my last summer like after high school working at EB Games to like buy the Pokemon game. And I remember like figuring out how to get to the store in this new city, and like finding my local EB Games and placing the pre-order and then like getting myself there. And I remember it was also really exciting because when I was there, I saw a girl with like the limited edition Pikachu 3DS, and I had the Animal Crossing one, and I was like, oh my gosh, can we be friends in this like new city? So I have some like really positive memories associated with Pokemon for that time of my life.
Nice. And then I don't actually know, do you two play Pokemon Go?
Yes.
Okay. When Pokemon Go happened, did that change your experience talking with others about Pokemon and your experience having community with people in just with regards to Pokemon? Because I know it did for me.
Yeah, I would say it definitely did. I got out and I was a big part of the Go community where I was going. So that was near the end of my time at my undergrad. I had graduated like a year or two before that, but I hadn't quite left the area yet. And so I became a really big part of that community. I would bring my dog and people would always say like, oh, where's the beagle girl? And then if it was like a really hot day, I'd offer to give people rides or like bring water for everyone. And so it was my mom friend really came out for Pokemon uh-huh. Go. And then that was also around the time that because I was trying to consume content about Pokemon Go, that's, I think it was 2017 that I got in or started listening to this podcast. So, and it was because I had been listening to, I like Pokemon Go Cast or something like that. And then they had Steve on, an episode. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to start listening to that one too. And then eventually the other one fell off. Because I was just like, oh, this one
it's
I get
still kind really of, good. It's still out there.
No, it's still a super good, yeah, still a really good podcast. But I just, I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And for me, especially as I do play other games, other Pokemon games, I liked the coverage of it all. It was hard I did move at one point, and this is a question that I have for you guys, if you experienced something like this as well. I moved at one point and I lost that community. And then I kind of was like a Pokemon Go loner, like no one else mm-hmm. in the area that I lived during my master's played. But now
and that's
that
a whole different way to play that game.
Yes. To play alone. Yeah. So then it was, and also moving from a fairly warmish area of like Oregon to a fairly coldish area of Pennsylvania had an impact as well. But now that I've been settled in the area that I'm in for a few years, I have a community again. Like I've started meeting some of the people that are outside of the university that are local players. I definitely like it is a big community builder for me, has increased the sense of community. And actually, I had a friend that just texted me the other day because she said that she found Rachel Carson's house, like actual homestead out near Pittsburgh because of Pokemon Go. Like she was like, oh, let's go over to that like stop. She's like, what is that stop? And then she's like, Rachel Carson. And she went there and she found, and like, that's like an experience that you wouldn't have if you didn't play this
game.
Get
out and go.
Yeah. Get out and go. And shout out to Rachel Carson, awesome woman in science, brought attention to pesticides and overuse of pesticides and that kind of thing. So snaps. What about you, Karina? Did you like play Go and did that change a lot of things for you?
Yeah, so I think I have a little bit of a unique Go experience. So I was actually, unpopular opinion here, I was like very against Go when it first came out because I've always been like a digital minimalist. I don't like when people are like looking at their phones all the time. I'm like very mindful of like my media use. And I remember there were like the summer that it came out, it was like summer in Montreal and there were like these pockets of the city that I loved just like going to and it was quiet and like wonderful. And then one day it was just like swarms of people on their phones like overtaking all of my favorite spots in the city, and I was like so horrified and I was like, I will have nothing to do with this. So I didn't touch Pokemon Go for years and years, and I actually only started playing in like late 2020, around the time that I discovered like this podcast and this community, because all of you were talking about Pokemon Go and the FOMO was real. So I was like, okay, I will try it again. But I think the community, like, if there hadn't been the community aspect of it, I wouldn't have played it, because I had like real struggles learning how to play Pokemon Go despite having played the main series games like all of my life. Just the mechanics were so different. I just didn't understand it. And if I didn't have a space and like welcoming people who were explaining these to me every time I had questions about how things worked, it would not have stuck. So I started playing during the pandemic, so I didn't really have that local community aspect, but I did like meet a friend, just this one person who I always saw on my multiple times a day Pokemon Go excursions, like out and about. And one day I just walked up to him and I was like, are you playing Pokemon Go? And he was like, yes. And we like started timing our walks to be at the same time. And he's like still one of my very good friends. And now that there is more in-person stuff, I've been doing community day with, with like some of my IRL friends. And it's definitely been really nice.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, kind of a delayed start, but I'm glad you're enjoying it now.
Yes, for sure. At least.
Are you an OG goer, Hannah?
I'm like a day minus one goer, in that I was so ready for it to come out. So I was.
Did you get invited on like the, sorry, the, like beta,
I wasn't
or
a beta. I wasn't a beta, okay. But I was ready. I was on it. So I was someone who played Niantic's other game, Ingress, for a short period of time. And so after Ingress and after the April Fool's Google Maps thing, when they announced that Pokemon Go was going to be a thing, I could absolutely see that this was going to be huge. And so I was coming up with like packing lists for things I wanted in my backpack when I went out to go play Pokemon Go during the day.
Like you as the trainer in the game packing your bag to go on this big adventure.
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
And then when it actually came out, I was working in a fast food restaurant that summer, and it was some franchised place that is kind of niche. And but the person who was my boss actually kind of paid me with free food to explain to him how Pokemon Go worked, because everybody was out there playing it and maybe he could take advantage of this. So that was my start to explaining Pokemon Go to other people. And that grew into explaining it to my bosses in IT who I played with all throughout college. And then from there, I formed a college club that was made up of current students, alumni, faculty, and staff all playing this game together. And we would all just go do raids together. And at this point, that campus is covered in Pokestops and it's wonderful. And the club still exists even years after I left. And I'm very proud of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this game has brought me so much. And I did kind of lose that community after I graduated, that I had built up that amazing community there in college. I've found more here and there, but haven't really settled in a active Go community yet because things are still kind of waffling on active or not right now. But I'm glad for the community we have online. That's always good.
I find, like, depending on where you live, it can really make or break. So, like, where I lived in my during my master's had nothing around it. So it was just like a, like, if I went to campus, I would get to play, basically. But I worked from home a lot. And then during, like, the plague, luckily during when 2020 hit, when the pandemic hit in 2020.
Same thing.
2020 just slapped us across the face. I live right across the street from a park. And I still go to that park. It's like a, it's got like six or seven gyms. It's got a lot going on there. So I'm able to play there, which is great. And similarly, like to you, like I have my advisor, my advisor plays Pokemon Go. Like we're friends. We're about to hit like best ultra best friends or whatever. it's just so cool how it can bring together so many different levels of people.
Yes. No, I mean, Pokemon itself has brought together so many people, especially with the way these games can be played so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But then Pokemon Go being something that everybody could access and that had that giant boom there when it first came out in 2016 was honestly huge. It definitely got more people into playing it than had ever seen than had ever played Pokemon before. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Would you say it's your favorite game?
Don't want to say that because I know some people would get angry if I say that, but I think it might be. I really like Scarlet and Violet, genuinely. Scarlet and Violet is getting up there for me. Wow. But Pokemon Go is absolutely the one that I've sunk the most time into. No question there.
What's your favorite game, Cody?
So it's either Pokemon Go or Arceus. The reason for that is, as an entomologist, as a scientist, my favorite part is catching and collecting and like the data points. Like, I'll raid if I have friends around that want to raid or something. Like the Hoenn tour, when all of the Groupon and Kroger's were around, I really only got some because I was with people that wanted them and I was running into other people that wanted them. Like we were driving around. We like saw another car that was also driving around. I like literally pulled up next to them like a creeper. And I was like, y'all want to do the Kyogre that's over there? I didn't even ask them if they were playing. I was just like, guess what?
Can you imagine if they weren't like, excuse me?
I would have just driven away. Like a creeper. But that's not what I'm about. Like my favorite part is the collecting and like filling in the decks and trying to get like a really good Pokemon of all of the, like trying to get a 3-star of everything. I almost got a shiny hundo, my first shiny hundo, almost. It's a Hitmontop. I just got it during the event that was like yesterday. Nice. Or whatever. It's one tick down from being
98%.
It's a 98%, but it's but I am like over the moon. Yeah, so those are my, I would say those two, just because they scratch the itch that I have. What about you, Karina?
I would say that Sword and Shield has been my favorite set of games, and they were the first games that I didn't just put down immediately after like hitting credits. And I feel like they were the first. So again, I always knew about like, you know, shiny hunting and EVs and like competitive and all, like I knew all of this stuff, but it was it felt so inaccessible because you had to like breed for, you couldn't mint things. Like you EV training sounded hard and like shiny hunting just seemed like not that fun. And I feel like Sword and Shield was the first game where I felt like I could do those things and where I sunk a lot of time into like doing those things. Not that I play competitive or anything. I'm just like a perfectionist and I like having perfect Pokemon that are like perfectly EV trained.
Yeah. One of the good things about the raids is that you can build those perfect Pokemon and then use them in something that's not competitive, which I've
enjoyed. That was the first time I felt like I could do that was in Sword and Shield with like the max raid battles. I was like, I have a reason to like level up my shinies to level 100 so I can flex them during these raid events. I thought that was really fun. And I also, a scientist, also love data, had like so many spreadsheets for keeping track of like shinies and Dynamax adventures and like all of this stuff. So that's been really fun too.
That's wonderful.
I do that with so many games, like with Animal Crossing, I had like a spreadsheet that was, okay, when can I get all the fish? And like, how do I, okay, what fish am I missing? What, or like with Skyrim, I wanted to get all of the books in Skyrim. And I found a way to like in my house to put all the library shelves up so that I could put all the books up and have all of the books. So I had like a spreadsheet for that. And I had it for Pokemon too. Like what I have, like a, I always have like a shiny like bucket list, like what do I want, like what's my, which is my target right now, and then if I ever get spare time, that never happens, but then I consult the list.
You've always got goals, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit bad about saying that my favorite was Go or Scarlet and Violet without mentioning Emerald, because that was the game I grew up in, so I wanted to mention that just a little bit.
Yeah, Crystal was the one that I like poured my heart and soul into. So I feel that.
Yeah, for me, it was
like the virtual console games on the 3DS eShop before it went out of commission. So I have the games that I missed. I just need to go back and play them once I have a PhD.
Yeah, once we just let's just keep kicking that down the road of like,
yeah,
I do the same thing.
Yes, so I feel like we are approaching a time where maybe we can do a rapid fire of some of those go-to Pokemon questions and close out for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's do it.
We can start with, what is your favorite Pokemon? And I hate this question, but Cody, what is your favorite Pokemon?
Shiny Alolan Vulpix.
Do you have a reason?
It's cute. That's okay. Pretty much it.
Valid.
Yes. Karina, what is your favorite Pokemon?
My favorite Pokemon is Ice Q. It's a penguin, and it like it wasn't love at first sight. I was like, it's a penguin, but it looks weird. But ever since that like Pokemon Center Ice Q plush came out, I feel like that just like once I saw it in plush form and like squished it in plush form, No, it's at my parents' place on the other side of the country.
Oh, okay. You own it.
I own it. It's not here. We have a few other penguins here to fill the void while I am away from my Ice Q. But it's an Ice Q named Harold, and I love it. And I went into Sword and Shield, and I got a shiny Ice Q in a Master Ball and named it Harold, and I'm very attached.
That's amazing. That is beautiful.
Hannah, what about you?
I think that if I had to choose one single favorite Pokemon, it would be Blaziken. That when I was a small child playing Pokemon Ruby, my family moved across the country and I lost all of my friends, and my only friends left were my Pokemon, and my Blaziken became very special to me. It was also the very first female starter Pokemon I had ever had at that point in time, because there's still that gender leaning towards male for all of the starter Pokemon. So my Blaziken, I still have. I'm working on doing not exactly a ribbon quest, but trying to get as many ribbons as I possibly can on her before I move her all the way up to Pokemon Home.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that if I had to choose a single one, it would be Blaziken.
You know, if Pokemon should, like, if you start your game on International Women's Day, your starter is just 100% female.
Pokemon.
I would always appreciate if they did 50-50 just as the base for the starters, but maybe someday. Then from there, we can go into, do you have a favorite Pokemon type? And I think that, Cody, I can guess yours.
Everyone knows what mine is. It's bug type. And I was just screaming at someone the other day, screaming with just caps, not in voice, about the fact that There are so many insects in the world, and I feel like they're underrepresented in Pokemon. Like, if there's so many, like, someone asked me if I like Terrapagos, and I was like, another turtle. Wow. Love it. And he was like,
don't hate on the turtles. Ouch. Come on. There are people who live, like, for the turtle so Pokemon.
I think I'm just going to forever be mad until there's a legit bee Pokemon. So, yeah, that's just going to be me. So, bugs. Fair. What about you, Karina?
I don't know. I feel like this is kind of obvious too, but ice types, for the obvious reason that penguins like ice, and also because I'm a literal penguin and like live for the winter, and I just like the color scheme of like ice types, that like minty blue color. So ice types for me.
And then the minty blue that becomes the like lavender color.
How about you, Hannah?
I have a hard time choosing favorites, if you can't tell. If I were to look at all my more preferred Pokemon, the most common type there would probably be either fire or dark. I think dark would probably be the most common type there. I tend to lean more towards firefighting. I like the firefightings, sorry, but so dark is probably my overall if I had to choose a favorite type. And then from there, do we have a favorite generation of Pokemon? I think that is the question that I will close out with, unless one of you comes up with another question after this. So I will start with Karina this time. Do you have a favorite generation of Pokemon?
You know, I don't think that I do. I mean, I guess I say Gen 8 just because the games were my favorite, but I don't know if I'm particularly attached to like the Pokemon of a certain generation. Also, I just don't know what's in what generation. I've like That's never fair. Really paid attention to that. So it's like not something that's high on my list of things.
That's fair. In general. That's entirely fair. Especially, I mean, since Sword and Shield was so special to you, then it makes sense. Yeah. And then Cody.
Yeah, I think I'm like trying to check my...
I can tell. I can hear your computer and you're scrolling through the generations.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's Sword and Shield. It's Galar.
Oh, really?
Because that's so many good bug types. Like, I remember Sizzlipede and Cendiscorch, Snom and Frostmoth. Like, there were just so many good boys in this. They also...
And girls.
Boys and girls, yes, thank you. It was boys with an I, not boys.
Yeah, you good.
Applin, loved the Applin line.
Wait, is Applin a bug?
No,
or you're
no,
just saying
not
you like Applin, okay.
Not at all. I just really like it.
Wait a second. Sorry, continue.
No, I think that was pretty much, yeah. I'm still scrolling to see if there's like the end of it. But I think that was the biggest thing. Like the one, when you asked the question, my brain was immediately like, which one is Cendiscorch and Frostmoth? so yeah, I think that's mine. What okay. about you?
For me, I'm going back to Gen 3. I already said I lived in Emerald. Those were the games that I played when my family moved, and I had to make all new friends. I am based in Gen 3. I am a Hoenn player. All right. Do either of you have other fun Pokemon quick questions?
I have like one sort of, I don't know, question, I guess, is the word for it.
Yeah.
But have you two ever felt like, I was thinking about this when we were talking about our favorite types, but have you ever felt like the opposite of drawn to, like, for example, fairy types? Because I have always felt this thing as like, I can't like the girly things, because otherwise I'm just going to be like the girly girl who likes the girly things, and I want to be a human outside of being a girl, so I will like actively distance myself from like the girly things. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you two have ever experienced?
I would say that I don't like steel type, but that's more, that's not, doesn't have anything to do with me being a woman. It's just that I they're supposed to be animals. Like, they're supposed to be like nature. And like, what is this?
What is this building of a Pokemon?
Yeah.
Looking at you, Duraldo.
So every time Greg mentions it, like, I'm just like, yes, like, screw the mechanical Pokemon.
Got it. Ouch.
But yeah, it's not for any reason other than nature. Woo, nature.
Fair. How about you, Hannah?
I, separate from Pokemon types, I definitely have gone through that phase of not wanting to lean into girly stuff. I am not a super girly person myself, but I think one thing that really helped there two things that really helped there. One thing was a manga that I grew up with where the main character is a strong person who is allowed to get angry and also still really likes princesses and wears pink for her job. So continuing to like that manga has helped me over time. And also Legend of Korra, having Korra come into, well, become less of a stuck-up person who hated Asami for being a girly girl, that also helped me a lot in that progression there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But in Pokemon types, I could never really conceptualize the idea behind the difference between ground and rock very well until very recently. Yeah. I am starting to kind of draw the lines there and have it make sense. Some people have defined it really well, and that's starting to help. But if I had to say I shy away from any types, that's probably it. And I barely shy away from them.
Yeah, I guess just like rounding back at, or yeah, coming back to like the Women's Day themes and in Pokemon and stuff, I think, you know, being a part of like this Pokemon community and like meeting some great women in the community has, I think recently, I don't know, it sounds like kind of cheesy or silly to say, but like has made me like more okay with being like, you know what, it's okay to be like, if there's something girly you're into, like those being a girly girl and being a gamer or liking Pokemon are like not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. And just like coming to terms with that and being more comfortable with those sorts of ideas is something I think valuable that I've gained through these games in this community.
I love that this community's brought that.
Yeah. I do think, so I kind of present as like a tomboy person. Like I'm not super feminine out on the outward. So I think that I've not ever had people be surprised that I played Pokemon or be like, oh, well, you must like this type of Pokemon or whatever. And I wonder if that goes back to my name is masculine. Like growing up a lot, people would make fun of my name and be like, well, you're a boy because you've got a boy's name. And I'd be like, I don't care. Like, you can say whatever you want, but I just don't really care. Or like people would, you know, first grade, second grade, when we'd play like knights and princesses or something. And they're like, well, you have to be a knight because you have a boy's name. And I was like, yeah. I was like the Brienne of Tarth or the Arya Stark, like the, yes, who wants to be a stupid princess?
But I'd be there like, being a princess with a sword.
Yeah. That's me. Well, and that's like, I think that, so I think that kind of like shielded, like having grown up with that, like kind of shielded me from that. But also, you know, my favorite Pokemon is the cutesy little, like, and I'm just like, it's so cute. And I've had people be like surprised about that and been like, wow, I thought you'd like Scyther or like something like super. And I'm like, why? Like, why is that? So I guess I've had like some weird experiences like that, like what you're saying, Karina, but yeah, I'm not sure. Hannah, I guess, have you?
We are all multifaceted people is, I think, an important thing here.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely the moral of the story.
Yeah.
And Pokemon are also multifaceted Pokemon, and you're allowed to be multifaceted in both of the ways.
Yes. I am not a super feminine person most of the time, but occasionally I like to dress up for special occasions, for holidays, for events. I am someone who ends up in a whole lot of spaces where I am the only non-male person or one of very few non-male people, and I've never really been uncomfortable with that. I know that some people are, but I was someone who did wrestling in high school. I did boxing and fencing and jiu-jitsu in college. I end up in a lot of these spaces just because of the things I like, and I think that that's just another part of being a multifaceted person.
Yeah, and I think that, kind of like to tie it together, Pokemon has had a lot of women in it from the beginning. So it's
gym leaders, champions.
Yeah. Like first gen, you have women as gym leaders and you have women that are, you know, Misty when you're watching like the very first part, like, and Team Rocket has a woman counterpart, and it doesn't feel like she is a lesser to James or anything like that. Like it's, they're a team. And so I feel like Pokemon is one of the best media that has celebrated women. So I've always
definitely find little things if you're nitpicking, if you're focusing on other things there are things to complain about. There are things to say could be improved. But I've always loved that there have been female gym leaders the whole way through.
Yep.
Even when you couldn't be a female character in the game yourself at the very, very beginning, there have been female gym leaders the whole way through.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a nice note to end on. Yeah.
I agree. So thank you both so much for being part of this special ISE International Women's Day episode. And off we go to play more Pokemon. How do these episodes end?
Where can people find all of us?
Yes, where can people find all of us? Thank you. You can find the podcast at PKMNcast pretty much everywhere. You can find me at Hannah's Pixels pretty much anywhere. Cody, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, just my name, Cody Mathis, or Instagram, Hiking Beagle, B-E-E.
Cool.
Of course.
And Karina?
You can find me on Twitter at Pingumon, but pretty much everywhere else you can find me at Pingu Crafts. So if you want to find me on Twitter, Pingumon, you'll be able to find my links to everywhere else there.
Makes great crafts.
Crafts.
All right. Thank you all so much. And this is ISE. This is It's Subaru Effect. That's not the right way to end this. We are. And we are.
Women.
Super effective women.
Super effective women.